Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Tuesday, September 26th, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And we seem to be having some Skype issues this morning, folks. So bear with us. We should be having Mr. Don Advo joining as my co-host for today. But right now we're not, we're not seeing his availability on his end of the Skype. Last minute, my Skype just went crazy on my desktop. I only got on the air on time because I jumped on my smartphone. Actually, so I mean, yeah, it's I don't know, it's not affecting everything on Skype, obviously, because my smartphone seemed to save the day in the last few seconds there. But we'll see what happens with Don, and we'll have to see if it works out. Perfect timing. Hey, Mr. Don Advo, our Tuesday co-host, has managed to connect, and I was having some Skype problems. I had to jump onto my smartphone, Don. So, it's a strange morning, but glad to have you here.
Well, glad to be here. I had some connection problems myself, and I'm running a little late. But I guess we're all here. At least I hope we are. Greetings from behind the lines in Mexican-occupied California. How are things in your neck of the woods today?
Oh, well, they certainly don't seem to be turning in our favor all that much. I mean, I'm in Florida now, and I mean, we've had this recent anti-Semitism bill. Ron DeSantis went to Israel, no less, to sign. I see people with masks again, even in this state, here and there at the grocery and what have you. I hear in California they're bringing that back pretty strongly in a lot of areas, and at this point it's pretty clear that it's more about control and social engineering. It's just one more way to show that most people are not really awake to look into information for themselves. Over in Ukraine, it's ridiculous how our money's being spent. This has really bothered me, seeing that the salaries for 57,000 Ukrainians for government civic services are still going to be paid by the U.S., even if our government shuts down on October 1st. I don't know if you heard about that one.
I did hear about that. And, contemplating all the things we see, the invasion of our country by foreign nationals who have no legal right to be here, our lives and our billions of dollars of money being squandered on foreign wars that have no relevance to us. The only significance of these wars is that they enrich elites. And I thought about, I had done some reading in history going back to the origins of civilization. There's a series published by an author named Will Durant, a very popular author in the early part of the 20th century. He wrote, I think in 1929 or 1930, he published a book about why India should be free. I think it was called India in Revolt or something like that from the British Empire. And it was quite influential. And he and his wife, Ariel Durant, were both of a scholarly bent. And he started out writing this multi-volume series called The Story of Civilization. Very, very modest a very modest title. It ended up being, I think, 12 or 13 volumes. He didn't really get it all finished. It was one I used to see this series widely advertised when I was a kid. You'd see them in ads in the Sunday papers, the Book of the Month Club and all this. And in very much the same way that encyclopedias were widely advertised and widely sold, the Story of Civilization by Will Durant became a very, very widely distributed series of books. I'm not so sure how widely read it was. Most of the copies I've seen on people's bookshelves didn't appear to be very, very much used. I think they were there for decorative purposes as much for anything else. I picked up a series of these at a secondhand bookstore, the whole series, I think, for less than $20, or maybe a little more than $20. Quite a deal when you think about it. Then I got them, and I decided, gee, maybe I should read these books, you know. I majored in history in undergraduate school. I've always been interested in military history, although not so much in ancient history. But I started out with Volume 1, Our Oriental Heritage. And then they progress. And then Volume 3 is Caesar and Christ. I'm not sure what Volume 2 is. I don't have it in front of me. And they go on to the Reformation and the Age of Napoleon and the Age of Faith. And they cover these different eras. And starting in Volume 1, where he's, and I strongly recommend that You get the series if you can find one. They're generally available pretty cheaply, secondhand bookstores, so it's not like a huge outlay of money. And you don't really have to read them all cover to cover. But I do recommend reading Volume 1 cover to cover. It starts with the beginnings of civilization. What are the essential qualities of a civilization? One of those is a sense of family, a social structure that is capable of sustaining a race of people or a community of people. You have to have an economy. They have to be able to feed themselves. You have to have a family structure that is capable of reproducing children, that is capable of protecting women. There is who are the weaker of the two sexes, far less physically capable of the really heavy lifting that had to be done in the early pre-industrial days when communities subsisted on chasing down wild animals and defending themselves against wild animals and wild people and enemies. And the natural division of labor between men and women was more apparent and far more necessary in those days. But gradually you had the development of civilization, the understanding of a family structure, the understanding of a sense of time, the development of a calendar. The agricultural revolution, whereby people became sedentary and they settled and they grew crops. And of course, formations of government, the invention of language, the invention of writing, all these various kinds of things. And then in the Middle East is a particularly interesting area because you have all these different, it's called the cradle of civilization, this area between the Tigris River and the Euphrates River. Kind of parallel rivers, and between them there is a very fertile area called the Fertile Crescent, and various civilizations have been born and died there. There were the ancient Sumerians, the Babylonians, and there was also a group of people called the Assyrians, and the Assyrian Empire existed from about 900 BC to 600 BC, about a 300-year run. It's kind of weird because that's about the same, almost the same age as the United States. We're not quite at 300 years, but we're approaching 300 years. And the Assyrian, it was a very interesting empire. It came after the Babylonian, on the heels of the Babylonian Empire, which grew and flourished and prospered and then collapsed. And along come the Assyrians, and they turn out to be a rather small group of people. They're very ambitious, very intelligent, and they form a collection of city-states that existed during this era, which grew largely from warfare, aided by new technology such as iron weapons. And the Assyrians became a formidable empire, formidable force in the world of that time. And there's a paragraph in Volume 1 where Will Durant describes the final days of that empire. And I'm going to read this paragraph. I think it's very insightful and very interesting. He says, "Gradually the qualities of body and character that helped make the Assyrian armies invincible were weakened by the very victories they won. In each victory, it was the strongest and bravest who died, while the infirm and cautious survived to multiply their kind. It was a dysgenic process that perhaps made for civilization by weeding out the more brutal types, but undermined the biological basis on which Assyria had risen to power. The extent of Assyria's conquest had helped to weaken her. Not only had they depopulated her fields to feed the gods of war, but they had brought into Assyria as captives millions of destitute aliens who bred with the fertility of the hopeless, destroyed all national unity of character and blood, and became by their growing numbers a hostile and disintegrating force in the very midst of the conquerors. More and more the army itself was filled by these men of other lands, while semi-barbarous marauders harassed every border and exhausted the resources of the country in an endless defense of its unnatural frontiers. End quote. Does anything about that ring remind you of the present status of the United States today? Endless wars, defending an endless defense of unnatural frontiers. I mean, we're defending Ukraine, frontier on the other side of the world, while our own border is completely undefended against a foreign invasion, the destruction of our people in wars, the importing of millions of destitute aliens to replace our own working people. Well, the Assyrian Empire generally, it is deemed to have collapsed in 600 BC. But what happened shortly after that? There was a creation called the Roman Empire, which by historical consensus existed from 625 BC to 476 AD. You see this in history. On the heels of the collapse of one empire comes another empire. Not necessarily a successor. The Roman Empire grew out of Italy, which was a large distance away from the Assyrians. And I don't think there was never any clash between the two. They didn't really overlap. It was like one was born after the other died in another part of that region. The Roman Empire generally has been divided for the sake of study and convenience into three periods: the period of kings from 625 to 510 BC, Republican Rome from 510 to 31 BC, and then the empire from 31 BC until its eventual collapse in the 5th century, which is the specific year assigned to this is 476 AD. So you see these three periods. Interestingly enough, in the Republican Rome, switch, you know, fast forward to volume 3 of the Durant book. This volume is entitled Caesar and Christ, and talks about the Republican period, what he calls the Agrarian Revolt from 145 to 178 BC. He says this was basically a revolt by the small landholders and certain classes against the aristocracy and the oligarchs who acquired a lot of wealth and a lot of power. He says the cause of the revolution were many. The results were endless. Never before and never again. And he says, well, the first cause, and this is what is important, the first cause was the influx of slave-grown corn from Sicily, Sardinia, Spain, and Africa, which ruined many Italian farmers by reducing the price of domestic grains below the cost of production. So we see the ruin of the domestic economy by a free trade regime, whereby the local people are bankrupted and undersold by a flood of cheap imports. I think we can all relate to that. Walk into a store today and look at the tags on, and everything you buy is manufactured in a foreign country. And when I was a kid, I grew up and I could walk into a store Sears or Montgomery Ward's or just about anything, and overwhelmingly everything was said made in USA. Now it's made in some other place. And it never really seems to have occurred to anybody except me to ask the question, what happened to all of the American workers who used to derive paychecks from the products that have been driven off the shelves of our stores? What happened to them? In any event, and going back to the Roman Empire, second cause was the influx of slaves, displacing peasants in the countryside and free workers in the towns. Third was the growth of large farms. Roman society says conquered soil was sometimes sold in small plots to colonists, and it eased urban strife, but more of it was given to capitalists in part payment of the war loans of the state. Much of it was bought or leased by senators or businessmen on terms fixed by the Roman Senate. To compete with these large plantations, and here this is very important, the little man, the small farmer, had to borrow money at rates that ensured his inability to pay. Kind of like modern school loans. Slowly, he sank into poverty. He had to borrow money at rates that ensured his inability to pay. Slowly, he sank into poverty or bankruptcy, tenancy, or the slums. Finally, the peasant himself, after he had seen and looted the world as a soldier, had no taste or patience for the lonely labor and the unadventurous chores of the family. He preferred to join the turbulent proletariat of the city, watch without cost the exciting games of the amphitheater, to receive cheap corn from the government, to sell his vote to the highest bidder, and lose himself in the impoverished and indiscriminate mass. Roman society, once a community of free farmers, now rested more and more upon external plunder and internal slavery. In the city, all domestic services, many handicrafts, most trade, much banking, and nearly all factory labor on public works were performed by slaves, reducing the wages of free workers to a point where it was more profitable to be idle than to toil. On the large plantations, slaves were preferred because they were not subject to military service. Their numbers could be maintained generation after generation as a byproduct of their only pleasure or their master's vice. So there, the Roman people, and you see in the beginning, end quote, the Roman, Rome started out as a very small city-state, a small group of people. The Roman army was overwhelmingly made up of Roman citizens. Rome started out as a kind of an ethno-state, a group of people who had a common heritage, common language, common goals, had common civic obligations, very much like the Assyrians that came before them. And as we see through conquest...
Let me pause you there. I believe we have the music break. And I don't hear it, but it should be coming in now.
Okay, well, I'll continue my thoughts. Here we go, after the break.
Yes, sir. Stick around, folks.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Here on Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey with my Tuesday co-host, Don Advo. And Don, let me have you pick it up, sir, where you left off.
Sure. This was two examples of empires that started out as very small, tightly knit groups of people. Through diplomatic and military success, became huge empires. Heavily relied on immigrant labor, also called slave labor, with an enormous inequality of wealth concentrated in the hands of a few oligarchs, and the vast majority of native citizens replaced by imported slaves, imported immigrants, and essentially the crash of wages and the crash of the native birth rate of the native Romans. This happened in Assyria, happened in Rome. And, I mean, I think if you look around, it's happening here. I want to go back to the founding of our country, and it seems as though we're going through this same pattern, this same scenario that these other predecessors went through. In the Federalist Papers, a series of essays written by founders of this country, some of them. There was a series of papers, I think 78 papers. Well, Federalist Number 2, published in the late 18th century, these were written for the purpose of persuading people to ratify the Constitution so that the United States would become a single country instead of 13 feuding sovereign states. John Jay says, he describes the America of that time. With equal pleasure, I have as often taken notice that Providence has been pleased to give this one connected country to one unified people, a people descended from the same ancestors, speaking the same language, professing the same religion, attached to the same principles of government, very similar in their manners and customs, and who, by their joint counsels, arms, and efforts, fighting side by side throughout a long and bloody war, have nobly established general liberty and independence. This country and this people seem to have been made for each other, and it appears as if it was the design of Providence that an inheritance so proper and convenient for a band of brethren, united to each other by the strongest ties, should never be split into a number of unsocial, jealous, and alien sovereignties. Here he describes with amazing foresight and amazing prescience, and I think an amazing and understanding of the classical world, the founders of this country, as a matter of course, were schooled in the history of ancient Rome and ancient Greece, and they were very familiar with the patterns, the growth from a small republic to a huge burgeoning empire that collapsed under the weight of its own contradictions, like Assyria and ancient Rome. And so what John Jay described here is a country very much like the nascent early Assyrian and Roman societies. And it's a wonderful description of our country as it was founded. Notice there is no reference to diversity is our strength. Our strength was that we were one united people, descended from the same ancestors, the same language, the same religion, attached to the same principles of government. And unfortunately, we have been split into a number of unsocial, jealous, and alien sovereignties, as he referenced in this paper of late 1787. This was written. It's written in the immediate aftermath of the Constitutional Convention in that year. So I would strongly recommend that you, all the listeners, go to the internet and Google Federalist Number 2, and you can read it. It's not very long. It's only a few hundred words. Federalist Papers were not lengthy essays or treatises. They were actually quite short, almost like op-eds of today, and they're easily read and easily understood. But Federalist Number 2, two paragraphs, are really an amazing piece of prose, an amazing description of our country, completely at odds with the so-called melting pot theory of America and the whole cult and whole religion, the self-destructive cult and religion of diversity and the importation of millions of aliens, the foreseeable outcome of which is the destruction of our republic, our once unified republic and once unified white racial America. So we kind of see this pattern, which is, you know, repeated itself over and over through history, where countries are the victims of their own energetic and talented and aggressive people turn out in the end to be the victims of their own success. America's early conquests, thankfully, were not destructive of our country, because the conquests were moved western into the western North America, which were largely uninhabited.
Here, sir, we have the next break.
Sure.
Right here. We'll be right back.
RepublicBroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Tuesday co-host, Don Advo. And Don, you present a convincing argument to me, certainly in the first segment. I have to think some of those founders thinking about racial cohesion being necessary in the early days of this country knew their history, a good deal of them, of these eras of Rome, and of the Assyrian people. And it is eerie how you mentioned the Assyrian people lasted about 300 years. And there are a lot of eerie parallels, certainly, with what we have today here, sir.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's kind of the narrative. It's not a very encouraging narrative, but you see the oligarchs of these empires invariably create oligarchs, and the oligarchs invariably, whether through inadvertence or design, end up going to war with the native people, with the original founding stock of their country, whether it was ancient Assyria, ancient Rome, or modern United States. And this should really give us a greater understanding of what's really going on here, and the depth of the deception that has been perpetrated on us by these exponents of diversity and cheap labor. Cheap immigrant labor has destroyed as many empires as military force. I think that's really the point that I wanted to make, one of the important points that I wanted to make. And I read this Federalist number 2. It really kind of hit me like a thunderclap. It is so completely at odds with the Jewish contrived version of our country as this melting pot of a nation of immigrants. It was founded as a nation of citizens with common interests and a common background, very little diversity. So that's my presentation for the day.
Well, it certainly was a good way for people to look at how history certainly has a lot you can learn from, lest you're doomed to repeat it. I mean, we have a lot of it rhyming with what we're experiencing today, hopefully. You know, it's like an entire white nations exist in the future in Europe or with the United States here is what I wonder. I would have to be just enclaves, you know, certain regions of states where different racial majorities, you know, naturally gravitate toward. But I mean, they've been trying more and more to enforce that being impossible. And I agree with those who even criticize Texas Governor Greg Abbott sending a lot of these to blue cities, you know, busloads of these illegals. And I don't know, I believe I may have heard that DeSantis was doing some of the same in Florida because it's just shuffling them around. I mean, if they really wanted to make a point, send them well out of the country, somewhere where they can't easily get back in with, you know, Soros organization money or however it is usually done. But, you know, then they would really see opposition on the federal level. And you don't see them challenge it like that, Tom.
No, you don't. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay,
I cut out for a second.
Yeah, I had a technical problem here. I pressed the wrong button. What we really need to do is close the border, stop the inflow, and then relentlessly start massive deportations of these people. And whether we send them far away or not so far away, Mexico has got to be taught a lesson that it can no longer knowingly function as a highway to the invasion of our country. Mexico doesn't want to defend its borders. I guess that's it, the decision of its people, but our leaders have got to defend our borders, and we've got to cut off aid for Mexico, and we've got to make it really unpleasant for the Mexicans who come here, and for all the nationalities who come here for that matter. But these people have got to be rounded up and shipped out. Every one of these people you ship out is a job opening up, is housing opening up for an American citizen. Supposedly there are 1 million illegal aliens in metropolitan Los Angeles. If those people were deported tomorrow, that would open up a million housing for 1 million American citizens and jobs for 1 million American citizens. So we've got to defend ourselves. If we don't, we're dead. We will join we will share the fate of the Assyrians and the ancient Romans, and more recently other countries as well that simply opened up their borders.
Very well said, sir. And just one more example of how far down the wrong path. I sent you this one during the show here. Illegal immigrants are flying directly into U.S. airports. This is part of one of many ways this Department of Homeland Security's program that Biden implemented in January, his administration, lawful pathways, management strategies, a number of different approaches. But yeah, the one evidently includes this obviously controversial one, a new rechanneling program, they say, that uses the CBP One app. It allows migrants to take commercial passenger flights from foreign countries straight into their American cities of choice, flying right over the border and even over Mexico. And for this measure, Cubans, Venezuelans, Nicaraguans, Haitians, and Colombians, while they are still in countries south of Mexico, request advanced travel authorizations through the same CBP One mobile app that take commercial flights at their own expense directly into U.S. airports, where U.S. customs officers parole them into the nation, sight unseen and in numbers publicly unknown. Before we go to the calls, which are building up, do you want to respond to that, Don?
Well, it's an invasion that is aided and abetted by our own oligarchs, the rulers of our country, and the elites of both political parties. It's been going on for decades. We had a strong anti-immigrant movement here in California for a while. It's basically disappeared. So little by little. We're being conquered.
Let's go to the phones. So we have four in the queue, starting with a Californian. Blue Moon in California. Blue Moon.
Hello? Excuse me. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm so, so happy to hear Don Advo. I remember him from Stormfront. Hello, sir. I'm so happy to hear you. I didn't hear the whole show, and I'm not doing that well. I'm just back from hospital, so I'll just say what I have to say kind of quickly. I heard you on a show, I think, a couple of weeks ago. You were reading from Countercurrent. I want to mention that on September the 5th, Mark Collett of Patriotic Alternative had Greg Johnson and a colleague of his, a very well-spoken young lawyer that are organizing this new think tank, Homeland something or other, and I thought you would like to listen to that show and probably join their effort. I think the young man, I think his name was Sutty, David Sutty, is right there in California, probably in your area. And so I wanted to mention that. I think I'm very glad you guys are, talking about Greg Johnson and Mark Collett. Mark Collett does incredible interviews. He just had a Dr. McDonald, Kevin McDonald, and, Eric Stryker, who's one of my favorites, and all kinds of new people. You guys should really listen to him.
Well, yes, ma'am. Patrick Slattery has Mark Collett on once a week.
Yes, I know.
It's a pre-recorded show, so yeah, we get to hear him on RBN.
I know.
That way.
I know. Familiar. I listened to that.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I also wanted to mention this new star we have called Oliver Anthony. I think he's really on our side. He's gathering large groups of in his concert with his rich man, Arthur Rich, the big hit. And I think our people should do well to kind of mix in with those people. You know, he's talking of unity. I think he's thinking the same way we are, but he's careful what he says. He likes to read the Bible at the beginning of his concerts, which is not a bad thing, but, you know, I would like to steer him more to reading something or Lord of the Rings. Anyway, those are my quick comments. I think I heard a little bit of what you're talking about today. I guess my comment for that would be, not doing too great here, but I'm alive. Anyway, yes, we have it a lot worse because Rome got taken over by Germanic tribes, mainly. You know, we're getting taken over by... There's no comparison. You know, by South Saharan Africans and just the whole third world. So we're... This is a much harder battle, but I'm glad people are willing to fight it. And don't ever forget to say that Europeans now, white people are a minority. We're the minority. Stop talking about these other minorities, ridiculous. We're the minority. Also, don't ever deny the Holocaust. We must own it. It's terrible. You know, the Holocaust was done to Germany. That's the real Holocaust. Don't ever let them say otherwise. So that's kind of want to say. I don't want to monopolize the show. I'll try to call again because I'm really excited about Don Advo being back.
Thank you
guys.
Well, that's a very well-received call here, ma'am. And
I'll call again when I'm a little healthier. Yeah, I just got out of hospital from a rush for the appendix. It was horrible, horrible ordeal. I'm just glad I'm alive, I guess. I asked God to take my soul, but he didn't want it, you know, so there must be a reason he threw me back. Oh, well, maybe I can do some good.
Well, thank you for all the points you made here today, ma'am, and thank you for the kind words regarding Mr. Advo. I agree.
Thank you.
We're glad to have
him. Thank you, Richard. Thank you. I think you're very open to a lot of, like you say, more highbrow stuff. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Oh, all right. Thank you. And let's... Well, possibly we could skip the break, please, Julie, to fit everyone in. Let's go to Daryl in Canada. Daryl.
Hi, guys. Nice show. Yeah, it was a nice comparison. Nice to hear from. Hope you're doing well there, Blue Moon. First time I've heard her. She made a good comparison about being taken over by, yeah, it does matter who you're being taken over by. So, yeah, they were lucky to be taken over by them compared to what we have in the Western world here. You know, what Don was talking about, that all that stuff that happened, it absolutely happened the way it did, but it was kind of like happenstance, just the consequences of doing the things, as he explained. I mean, the destruction of the West here is hardly that. I mean, it's a completely different situation. The people that came from the 1880s to the 1924 from the East, from the Central and Eastern Europe, almost 3 million of them before it was shut off in 24, they've done the damage already. Emanuel Seller was the number one guy. I mean, I think he was senator, and I think he was elected that year. And all the way from every year, from that point until the 1965 Immigration Act with the Hart-Seller Act, he was pushing for immigration. He almost got it in 1952. And then, of course, somehow they pushed it through in 65. I think the sympathy vote, somehow the sympathy situation with Ted Kennedy pushing it from his brother being killed a year and a half earlier helped do that. I mean, how in the world could, I think an average intelligent six-year-old could have figured out that with only 30% at that time white people in the world, 70% non-whites, and you open it up to everybody, they were trying to tell us that it's not going to change the demographics of the United States. And then Canada did the same thing a few months later. An average six-year-old, like I said, could have figured out that 70 versus 30, it's going to change it greatly. And look what's happened now. So, yeah, it's a very orchestrated situation. I mean, the best comparison, when people, I talk to people about this, I always give them one example, and I couldn't think of a better one. In a couple of years ago, Iceland imported the first rabbi, I believe, the first rabbi into Iceland. And within 6 days, not even seven, not even a week, within 6 days, he was calling for immigration to Iceland. What do you think of that, Don?
Wow, doesn't surprise me at all. That's what these people have done for hundreds of years. They've gone into a wonderful country and destroyed it, absolutely destroyed it.
Yes, and then as I mentioned on another show one time, it's not just the illegal, it's the legal, and I think every legal brings in five to seven chain migration people after that, and then they bring in five to seven, and then the visa overstays. Although nowadays, though, you can't. That used to be kind of like the residuals, but now it's the southern border that's overtaking everything as far as the illegal migration. If some, I'll just end in this with this point. If somehow a Republican, Trump from jail or somebody else could in 2024 can overcome the fraud and become president, I hope they put, not only do what you said a few minutes ago, Don, to try to just spend billions of dollars hiring just tons of ICE agents and tried mass deporting everybody, doing it like that. Not only that, but just give an absolute 4 years. For 4 years, a total moratorium from everywhere, every corner of the earth. No immigration. Not one person. And if they're asking, why are you doing this? Just point to the southern border, and there will be your answer. I hope that's what would happen if by some miracle they can get in. Okay, guys, always nice to talk to you guys. Thank you.
And certainly the incentivizing here, you know, all the free money given out to them, all the affirmative action, incentivization of all kinds, bilingual assistance, it's just all so ridiculous. But thank you, Daryl. Always a good call from you. Dan in Washington. Dan.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I saw a little documentary on the Ottoman Empire, and a similar thing happened. The Jews got kicked out of Spain, and a lot of them went to Turkey and the Ottoman Empire, and they started pushing a lot of these things. And within a couple hundred years, the Ottoman Empire just fell apart. Shrunk to what is today Turkey. So diversity is a weapon, not a strength. They have this talking point, diversity is a strength, but we should have a talking point. Diversity is actually a weapon. And I don't know if you guys, there was a NATO general after the Yugoslavia war that basically said there can be no ethnically pure state in Europe. And so I started, diversity is actually a weapon by NATO, from what I can tell as well. all these European countries, every country in NATO is required to have diversity. So I never looked at it. I don't know if you've looked into that, but it's actually a, you know, it's actually a military style kind of weapon being used against
the people
of the West.
I think it was Wesley Clark who said that.
Yeah. Okay, yep. That sounds familiar. I remember somebody saying that, but I... So that's one thing, Richard, you were talking about Russia and stuff, but, you know, if NATO takes a big loss here, I don't know. You know, I don't know if that's going to change as long as there's NATO, as long as NATO's on top of the world. You know, they seem to be using diversity to destroy Germany and France and maintain power.
Well, yes, I mean, I just, I don't know, some of the keywords in that speech I was playing at the UN yesterday, Sergey Lavrov, I mean, a lot of key words of what we get from these globalist types, you know, these WEF types, you know, that diversity and inclusion, equity, climate change is another excuse for, you know, just more totalitarian control. And it is focused on white countries. I just have to wonder if Russia is just somehow just being a way for people to think, you know, it's not just the patriots in the U.S. fighting the New World Order, basically, that Russia has our back, and possibly China and their other allies, too, and BRICS. It just, it's a shinier outlook, and it gets people to, I don't know, you know, not...
the Russian propaganda can make me sick.
But Don, what would you like to comment on what I was just... suggesting that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
Okay, so yeah, you're not all warm and fuzzy about Russia necessarily, not enough reason to be so, right?
Well, I don't think Russia is the enemy that it's made out to be.
Sure, exactly. Yeah, no, that is true. And I mean, our leaders, economically speaking, are more of a threat to us directly.
All right, I'll let other callers. That was my main point. Is just I started looking at that lately. It's actually a weapon by NATO, you know. Anyway, thanks for taking the call.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's go to Joe in Florida. Joe.
Hey, Richard. Hey, Don. Good to meet you and hear you. Welcome back, I guess, RBN. It's great to hear you. I just wanted to add something really quick, Richard, and this is information that I have, which I'm not going to reveal how I know it. But so you mentioned in that story before about illegal immigration and that CBP One app. It's very fascinating, and I know this from people who know firsthand. What the administration is doing, is the Biden administration, is they're using that CBP One app to create a completely new and totally illegal version of parole. So historically, you know, for immigration, parole is very rare, and it actually requires somebody to be detained at a certain point still. Well, what these people have done is they've totally reinvented that term. Alejandro Mayorkas, the Jew, has reinvented the term so that now it's a blanket parole, and they're actually enticing people to come to the ports of entry, but then having them walk over, not legally come in, but literally tens of thousands of people walk across the port of entry with a guarantee that they're going to be given a blanket parole, which is completely illegal. But, you know, this is the JJ that we live under, right? The Jewish junta. This is the way they try and destroy societies. They undercut hardworking. They've already destroyed the middle class, right? Now they're trying to destroy the working class. What do you think?
Don?
Absolutely. That's very good. JJ, the Jewish junta.
I like it too. Yeah, thank you. Joe?
Thanks a lot, Richard. Good to talk to you. Bye.
Yes, sir. Tom in Florida. Tom.
Don. Good day, gentlemen. I don't get much time to talk, but I'll make it quick. First off, George Lincoln Rockwell was right. He knew that he saw this coming when he right before he died. He knew that these Jews were going to flood this country with illegal immigration. But here I want to talk about this. Have you seen the news today? Before I'm going to go to Dan in Seattle, Washington, Jesse Waters had a thing about Seattle. Those people in Seattle, Washington are all kooks. That's white trash. City's full of white trash, man. That city's with a bunch of mental rejects. I call them mental midgets. They should dry up, roll up. They're like a tumbleweed. Dry up, roll up, and blow away. That's what they need to do in Seattle. Now, here, I'm going to go to this. Don, by the way, did you see today in the news? The Border Patrol caught the Colombians and the Mexicans putting flags on these little islands right off the Rio Grande. They're sticking Colombian flags and Mexican flags, and the Border Patrol went over there, ripped the flags out, and the guy was Hispanic, and he said, how dare you come to this country blowing your flag? And Richard, you're in Chicago. Why don't you tell Don what happened in Chicago with all the Mexicans throwing their Mexican flags all over the place?
Well, remember, I moved to Florida summer of last year, Tom. Remember, I was in Chicago until last year. But yes,
Rich, I know that. I'm just saying, I know okay, you know okay. You keep up with what's going on in your family in Chicago, and you know yes. The Mexicans have a big parade there, their national holiday and their celebration, and they're instead of showing American flags, there's thousands and thousands of 40,000 Mexican flags flying all over downtown Lake Michigan. What the hell is that? These people ain't come to compliment us. They came here to eat our lunch and take our jobs.
It's like one of the cities that is going non-white the quickest, along with places like New York, Los Angeles. Chicago is going the way of Detroit or Baltimore at this point. Don, do you want to comment? We have just a couple moments left here.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. This is an invasion and a conquest of our country.
That's right. And Don, I got to say this, look at these people not even coming to speak English. I tell RBN all the time, there's more Germans in this country than anybody else. You don't allow them speaking German. You don't see German press all over the country. You don't see the German language. I believe we are one way to vote away in the Continental Congress of being a German-speaking country. And if we would have picked the German language over the English language, I don't think we'd ever had World War I, World War II, and we wouldn't allow this illegal invasion incursion, this conquest. This is insanity. And by the way, just so you know, this bumbling buffoon Biden's using drones. He's using drones everywhere to spy on us. He's using drones, Rick.
Okay, well, no, I mean, we have heard things about that. Yeah. Well, thank you. Always good points you make, Tom. And Don, always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Next Tuesday. Folks, please support Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to the donate page. Plenty of options for how you can send your donation to help keep free speech alive here at Republic Broadcasting Network, the canary in the coal mine for free speech, so that we will speak again soon. Until then, transcend the construct. Regards.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you